Hey, let's talk about the 21st century strategies for making a song a hit. The music industry has always had its ways over the generations, from musicians known as song pluggers who were paid to promote sheet music in the early 20th century all the way to the payola scandal of 1950s radio. Well, how's it work today? Allison McCabe reports on modern efforts to blur the line between entertainment and advertising.
The Clico Club Eskimos, the Champion Spark Plug Hour, King Biscuit Time. Major brands often produced and underwrote live broadcasts during radio's golden age, says media historian Cynthia Myers.
There were no advertisements during the music program, and so they hoped that the audience would feel very favorably toward them for financing free radio programming.
Television took off in the 50s, taking with it sponsors and stars. But radio remained vital, thanks to disc jockeys like Alan Freed, who introduced audiences to new music, including rock and roll.
And here's the king of rock and roll himself, Alan Freed! Thank you, Vern Bennett, and welcome to our Camel Rock and Roll Dance Party.
DJs became influential tastemakers, and record labels plied them with cash payments and gifts in exchange for airplay. Media reports led to congressional hearings. Hundreds of DJs were implicated, and Freed was eventually fired and fined. But Cynthia Myers sees payola as an inevitable consequence of radio's evolving business model.
When you think about it, the music industry was buying airtime just as brands were buying airtime in order to promote their product, which was music recordings.
In 1960, Congress amended the Federal Communications Act to require that pay-for-play arrangements be disclosed on the air. But record labels quickly found workarounds, using independent radio promoters as middlemen to covertly fund airplay, contests, and giveaways. Kevin Erickson of the nonprofit Future of Music Coalition says the consolidation of the radio industry in the 90s corporatized payola.
When we talk about payola, people have an image of somebody like sliding a briefcase full of cash to a DJ. And that Alan Freed model is not really how it works anymore.
Today, large media companies own most major market radio stations, and playlists are set at corporate headquarters. Payola investigations in the mid-2000s led to multi-million-dollar settlements by several major label conglomerates and four of the nation's largest radio station owners. Now, a new model of brand sponsorship has supplanted label-funded payola.
You don't jump on the bandwagon. You drive it. But that doesn't mean you have to go it alone. Dr. Pepper is all about being a one-of-a-kind flavor, so they're right there with you. And when it comes to helping promote independent artists, they're all in.
Dr. Pepper's one-of-a-kind sound was designed by the tech startup Music Audience Exchange to sound a lot like pre-release album teasers. CEO Nathan Hank says this allows major brands to reach specific demographic targets while emerging bands gain valuable exposure.
Artists are calling us months in advance to be in the program, and they're thinking about these partnerships as the marketing strategy for the single or for the album.
On an even larger scale, Pepsi launched the Sound Drop this fall. It's a partnership with MTV, the music app Shazam, and iHeartMedia, formerly Clear Channel Communications, the country's largest radio station owner.
Pepsi invites you to discover your next music obsession in episodes where we profile new artists.
The Sound Drop spotlights artists who are already on major labels and in rotation on iHeartRadio. Emma Quigley is Pepsi's head of music.
It's not a traditional spot. It's because it goes deeper. It's telling you a story.
Sort of like a mini documentary.
We are Lucas Graham.
Mama said that it was okay.
So Mama Said is about how I grew up without all these things that people say you need to be happy, and yet I was happy.
Sound bites from the artists, in this case Danish pop band Lucas Graham, are woven together with audio clips of the song being pushed and aired on all of the iHeart stations playing that format. Quigley explains that these are in addition to regular airplay of the single.
We work with iHeartRadio at a pivotal time in the cycle of the single that would connect the dots between the single that's on air and in rotation and the artists themselves.
There is also a longer mini-documentary hosted on Pepsi's YouTube channel. The only part of the campaign that resembles a conventional commercial is the banner ads Shazam runs on its app. Quigley insists that the Sound Drop isn't advertising under the guise of entertainment.
We're not advertising anything. There's no, you know, that ad's running, they have to play the track after the ad or anything like that. Yes, it's very clear that the Sound Drop is a Pepsi-owned platform, but the star of that platform is the artist and that song.
The approach seems to be working. Pepsi's first artist, Lucas Graham, just picked up 3 Grammy nominations, including Song and Album of the Year. For NPR News, I'm Allison McCabe.